Will the Pelicans make a blockbuster trade? Make sure you smash that like button. Let's do it. Presented to you by Chris Smith of Keller Williams, one of the top realtors in New Orleans, located at 8601 Leek Avenue. For a free marketing evaluation of your property, to book a property tour or to talk real estate, give them a call at 504-231-2004 or email them at chrissmithhomes.com. Happy Sunday night, Chaz and Five joining first and foremost. We got to talk a little bit about that Mavericks game. Boy, Kyrie and Luka, man, they're just special to watch. They are just special to watch, man. It was funny, Five, because you talked about it. We're going to talk about Trae Young tonight, but you sent me a couple tweets about Trae Young liking some tweets about Kyrie Irving and Luka and how Kyrie and Luka have, like, you know, a strong connection and bond. And it's funny just watching those two together play, because everyone was so low on Kyrie, right? And the Mavericks make this move, and look at what it's done for the Dallas Mavericks. They are one win away from the NBA Finals.
I can't take all the credit. I have to pay some homage to my dog, Chaz, as well. I mean, we kind of been pseudo talking about this for a minute. Just seeing what a guy like Kyrie can add to your team is truly, you know, phenomenal to watch. We know the talent that he is, but you can see the leadership aspect that he's been adding to this team. To be honest, Justin, we see the talent, but I think the moves that the Dallas Mavericks made to really make this thing work was the Gafford and PJ Washington trade. because we could talk about this team early on, because they had some issues last year, right? Like, they couldn't do what they wanted to do, but adding those two and then, you know, having a rookie in Derek Lively the second, hopefully that young man's all right, took a nasty fall, nasty hit to the head. Hopefully that young man can get back stable, because he was a huge and integral part to their team and their success. And you look at a guy like Daniel Gafford, right? Like, does the exact same thing, but more, a little bit more physical. Also can play through some contact and finish above the rim. You saw the and one block on one end and one on the other end. That those guys, and PJ Washington just knocking down corner threes left and right. Those guys just allow Luka and Kyrie to be themselves. Derek Jones Jr. as well. Like, we could talk about that scene ad nauseum, but yeah, man, moves make sense for the Dallas Mavericks.
Chaz, the most important comment we've seen so far from Zillow: the Mavs have two stars. This is what superstars look like in Kyrie and Luka. You want to talk a little bit about the game three of what you just saw, or you want to get right into the Trae Young stuff?
I mean, great talent on the floor. I disagree. I disagree with Zilla. I think Zion got next year. He's still under the star category by the league's definition. So he got next year to figure out if he's really, it's a lot less of a question than we really then. I'm giving this comment more credit than I probably should, to be honest. And let's say you don't have two stars, right? That's even more reason to get more talent on the team, so you can make up for those two or those three max players' shortcomings. But we could just get straight to it, man. Shout out to Dallas, shout out to the Mavericks, shout out to Kyrie, shout out to Luke and them. Just
that's a great franchise. So usually we do comments and super chats at the end of the show, but there's a super chat here. Appreciate you, All World Trucker. But I do not want to replace Julius Randle with Zion. I don't know how y'all feel about that. But yeah, I wouldn't replacing Zion with Julius Randle would be interesting. What?
Just saying, man, shout out to the truckers, man, because if it weren't for y'all, dog, a lot of shit go left. So, I mean, shout out to you, All World Trucker, man.
Truckers make the world, well, this country especially, truckers make this country go around. Like, for real.
Appreciate you, All World Truckers.
And shout out to the troops, man.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, shout out to the troops. So, let's make sure. All right, so let's get into the Trae Young Garland. We'll go to the Christian Clark report here. So, go ahead. Go ahead, Chaz. I'll give it to you first. Go ahead. Wow. Damn. Pause. I'm sorry about that.
It's all good. That was even crazy. More response for me, but I think you already saw it. You saw it Julius Randle's first year as a Pelican. You know, team was kind of injured. He didn't have a super strong running mate. And Julius Randle was balling that year. They tried to move off from him, ultimately did what this organization does. They were stupid, let him just go into free agency, didn't get anything for him while he's having a career year. I don't think Julius Randle is probably let's see, if it's four tiers, he's probably in that third fringe second tier, but he's at least a tier or two below Zion. So I don't think it would be good, brother.
Yeah, five going add on.
Yeah, it's a little too late in the game for Julius Randle. Too many injuries, too many. I mean the Knicks got further without him, so that also diminishes his value to an extent, almost, you know, equivalent to Brandon, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the Christian Clark article. So Christian Clark came up with an article today. Five, I'll start with you first. So I thought this was interesting, right? Let me pull the comments off here real quick. So in his article, make sure you check it out. It's on Noel.com and also on Christian Clark's Twitter. If the Pelicans re-engage the Hawks, they could look to pry away Murray or Young, even though Young is the more – I thought this was the most interesting part of the article. Even though Young is more talented player, the Pelicans seem to hold more interest in Murray, league sources said. The 6'5 Murray is not as much of a defensive liability as the 6'1 Trae Young can be. He's also on a cheaper contract. Murray will make $25.5 million next year, while Trae Young is owed $43 million. What are your thoughts on that, I guess, little paragraph right there?
That's just an ode to Willie Green, right? That's the guy that Willie Green would more so fit around Paul's than just to get Trae Young. Trae Young's the higher ceiling guy, right? Like, he is a bona fide all-star. I say a bona fide star. But if you're looking at it from a Willie Green standpoint, he'd rather deal with, you know, DeJounte than deal with Trae Young. Trae Young has got a couple coaches fired. His Willie Green seat'd get a little bit more hot if Trae Young walked in the doors.
Yeah, but before it's Chaz, 5, I want to go back to you here, but like, the more talented player, like literally says, the more talented player is Trae Young.
Yeah,
talent wins in the league.
The more talented player is Zion. And see what that got him.
I can't really argue that.
Because it's not at this point, it's not about talent, right? Like we've seen this. It's not about talent. It's about locker room. It's about vibes. It's about continuity. It's like, apparently that's the way this organization wants to be built. It doesn't want to be built on talent alone. Because if that's the case, you don't draft Dyson at number 8. If that's the case, there's a lot of other moves that we could talk about, because it's not about talent. It's about fit. And to be honest, I don't necessarily know what that means anymore with this team.
Interesting. Chaz, what are your thoughts on that like little paragraph right there with the Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, I guess, comparison?
Well, you know, for me, it's going to be one of them shows. I think Griff fucking stinks. I think Willie Green stinks. I think Trajan stinks. And I'm honestly, I can smell Trajan's replacement a little bit. So Bryson, you're up. You're on the clock, and you don't got a lot of runway with me, because hey, I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of all these people who've been with the organization 10, 12 years, and all this fucking longevity and all this continuity is all loser shit. It's all losers. You're robbing the community. You're worse than drug dealers. You're robbing the community. You're losers. Because think about this, right? For that, because that was very intentional. I feel like that was a very intentional
quote
sentence to put in there by Christian Clark. Very intentional, right? Because that sentence, it serves a purpose. It serves a purpose. It's like, clearly there's a fucking distinction between Trae Young, who's a awesome player, and my man DeJounte Murray, who's a very good player as well. Clearly a distinction there, right? So one would think the clear choice would be you go get as much talent as possible. You get talent that can succeed independently of poor coaching, right? If you know Willie Green isn't a strong coach, as this organization seems to know, it don't really matter if you go get a meh guy or not a non-needle moving guy. And, you know, respectfully, that's what DeJounte Murray is. This is a boom or bust situation. You see what's happening across the league. You see what's happening with even with a guy like Pascal Siakam, who's having a really good series right now, balling. That was a distressed asset acquisition. You see what's happening with Kyrie, balling. That was a distressed asset acquisition. PJ Washington, distressed asset acquisition. Ball, this all these dudes is balling. You know what I'm saying? Even Rudy Gobert, distressed asset acquisition, balling. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, I don't know, man. Personally,
does the money situation worry you, Chaz? Because
it doesn't. But
that would be the only reason why I would like think like, okay, you would go with Murray or Trey. But like literally, what you just said is, and this goes for any sport play, like you get as much talent as possible, and then you figure it out. Like that's how it's supposed to go.
It depends on like you got to deal with the reality of the Zion situation, right? As far as Zion's a guy, he hasn't proven to be incredibly reliable physically at this stage in his career. You need a guy who can, in the event of, Zion's having some injury and missing some time, who can carry a team. And dude has shown that he's at least capable of doing that. Ultimately, like, Trey ain't getting $40 million because he a bum. He ain't like, there's probably not much argument about him being overpaid versus some other people. So it's like, he was an all-star this year, if I'm not mistaken,
he's
right?
He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals. He carried a team to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's been an all-star multiple times.
But you know what? Let's take that from the equation because it was a couple years ago, right? Motherfucker averaged 30 and 10 this year.
You can't, because Chaz, we're living on a playoff series 3 years ago that we took the Suns to 6. Okay?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be a hypocrite, right? Let's say, all right. Let's remove that from the equation. Bro, motherfucker was averaging like 30-something this year and like 11 assists. He led the league in assists by a wide margin while missing several games. The dude's a fucking, dude's an animal. He's never played with another threat at the caliber of Zion. So you don't even know what his ceiling is because he's also about 2 years younger than what's my man, DeJounte? I think he's a year younger than Brandon. You're a year or two younger than Brandon, if I'm not mistaken. So, man, I don't know.
And we like, Chaz, we like DeJounte. But, like, if you have an and Jared, I'm glad you brought this up because it brings me back to the Kyrie situation. When y'all talked about it, it made sense because, okay, you're low on Trae Young right now. The whole league is, right? They don't want it. Well, a lot of people are very low on Kyrie Irving, and the Dallas Mavericks took a shot. They took a chance. They paired him up with Luka Doncic, and look at what's happening. And I'm just saying, you don't really have much to lose here. If you can go land Trae Young, a talent like that, that will put like, look, I don't know if it works. And I was talking with one of my buddies tonight, like it's entertaining as hell. Like we played a boring brand of basketball. I think Trae Young and Zion together with Trey Murphy as well. If you can get those three together, like that's box office. Like I'm looking, like I can't wait to watch every game. Like you're gonna put ass in seats. Go ahead, though.
No, I just I appreciate you wanting to text me about my microphone. Shit's stupid. But the issue is like, all right, if you get DeJounte, it's almost like not, I wouldn't say a lateral move, right? It's just not explosive. But you have to more so kill two birds with one stone, right? You get DeJounte. So you got to get a center in the same deal. Like you have to kill two birds with one stone. Right. If you get Trey, figure out the center shit later. Because eventually somebody always gets paid surrounding Trey Young. Like if you're a center playing with Trey Young, you will get paid just because of his ability to pass the ball. You compare it to the Luka Kyrie situation. Those are two guys that can, you know, carry a team on their own. And decided they were going to play together. Kyrie's situation in Brooklyn didn't work out. Nobody around the league didn't want him. Okay, the movie, whatever people want to talk about. But he goes to Dallas. They have a year under their belt. And now you see the fruits of their labor. Trae Young, you know, put out a tweet like, okay, you see two guys that coincide with each other, that their games fit around each other. I think Zion's game and Trae's game definitely could fit in the right system. Around the right coaches, it's that's the real issue here. It's not necessarily Trae Young, Zion, or DeJounte. Those players aren't the problem. It's the people that are setting up the situation for them. That's the issue for me.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, no, it's a good point because, yeah, you got to think with Willie Green's a defensive guy first. That's not Trae Young's really strong suit. So, Chaz, you had an interesting trade proposal here. Kind of want you to walk us through it. It's a three-teamer, Cavs, Hawks, and Pels. So the Pelicans are giving up Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, Dyson Daniels. Dyson goes to Cleveland along with DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella. Atlanta gets Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, and Darius Garland. And the Pelicans land Trae Young and Jared Allen.
Yeah, that was me just more so having some fun. If I'm Atlanta, it depends on the goal. I think ultimately you could get some – you give yourself options if you were Atlanta and you were to trade for Brandon because you could just be like, I'm going to let this guy go ahead and test the market and, you know, let the market dictate his value, and then I'll, you know, spend a block. And if you're the Cavs, you get a guy in DJ with DeJounte. I don't know him well enough to call him DJ. DeJounte Murray, you know, you get a guy with some positional versatility who can defend, has shown he can play well next to another point guard, shoots the three, plays well off ball. You get a promising young wing and Dyson Daniels, from what I'm told. And you get $20 million and expire, and you get $22 million in expiring salary with Clint Capella's contract. And to keep it real, if they want to repackage DeJounte for when that next big player becomes available, that's an even sweeter deal. Because then you'll have DeJounte, who's on an incredible contract, and you got Clint Capella's money. You can just you could flip them and go get a great player. Typically, with trades like this, I never add picks because I just presume people know that picks are going to be traded. But, I think I don't know how realistic it is. I think it's the most ideal scenario for the Pelicans. But for everybody else, I don't know.
So, go ahead, Jared.
No, I was just saying, Chaz does a great job of, like, you know, thinking into the future. But to be honest, like, he knows, like I know, they don't think that far. Like, that's, you know, it's a day-by-day organization right now.
The whole JV fumble, like, that was incredible. So, five, another interesting couple paragraphs here in Christian Clark's article. So, he goes, one of the interesting subplots in all this is that in 2019, the Hawks were one of the teams Zion Williamson's camp hoped we'd get the number one pick. Williamson even tapped the Hawks logo, whatever. All signs suggested that Williamson and Young had mutual interest in playing with each other previously. Last month, Rayford Young, Trey's father, indicated on social media that still might be the case, right? And so they've kind of talked about leaning into Zion Williamson, making this his team. Do you think Zion would have any type of say on a Trae Young deal?
I hope he has a say, right? Like, we can only hope that Zion Williamson, the star of your franchise, because you've already put out that you're going to trade Brandon Ingram. Hopefully conversations are moving forward where you're including Zion in potential deals. Hopefully conversations were still there when you added, you know, Bryson Graham to the general manager position. Hopefully those are all conversations Zion Williamson was privy to. I didn't say he had to make the decision on, but hopefully he was privy to. Hopefully Zion, being in the facility, watching the young man that went to Newman, won a state championship, sorry, your country
That's
day.
Okay.
but like, hopefully Zion Williamson is included in everything the Pelicans are doing moving forward. I would love to see your Trae Young, Zion Williamson pick and roll. You know what's funny? We talk about Jordan Hawkins, right? Like, I was like mentioning, like, okay, it could be like Steph, Clay, Dre 2.0. If that happens, it's actually realistic. It is actually realistic that can happen, because Trae Young's been compared to Steph Curry since his inception, right? Like, his killer mentality, the ability to shoot off the dribble, his presence, his aura to the game of basketball. Surround him with a guy like Zion. And Trae wants to pass the ball. I think that's the thing that really pisses me off about people. People think he's just a chucker. He led the NBA in assists. And he played like 75% of the games.
So, and it's funny you mentioned that, because this is a tweet you sent me, and Gilbert Arenas, or I'm sorry, Kenyon Martin said this. But he's a problem for people because they dislike him for whatever reason, because he's out there busting his ass and letting you know about it, and he's unapologetic about it. So go get him some help. Kenyon Martin, I'm a dislike for Trae Young, and Trae actually liked that tweet.
That's a Chaz fine. But listen, sign me up. Where do I sign? I'll take a mini losses just to see Trae Young hoop with Zion Williamson, because I know eventually it'll work.
I also think it's because he light skinned, to be honest.
Damn, bro.
I'm gonna keep it real. Like I think a lot of it because he light skinned, and he's a smaller guy. People probably feel like this motherfucker, he ain't even supposed to be here. Like, you know, that's a thing people have internally. Like people who, it's like Steph probably one of the nicest people like in the NBA like realm that people know of. People don't like him for no reason. Like, this redhead motherfucker, who you think he is? Like, what? Like, he don't even do nothing. But all that to say, yeah, man, it would be great if Zion would like really, like, they got the same agency at this point. They both were CAA. It would be great if Zion, like, look, this is what I need to happen. This is what we're trying to do. I need to know y'all serious. But
do you think he can do that? See, that's the thing, Chaz. Do I you think that Zion has, I guess, like,
you mean, I think he has that in him?
Like, hey, Griff, like, man, like, I want to go play with Trae. Go, whatever you got to do. If he's available, you go get him. Like, because there's people, like, if this is his, honestly, if this is his team, right? And we've talked about like how he's got to step up in the leadership role, like, and demand some shit. Like, this would be a really good starting point. All right, Griff.
I think
Brandon's out. I want Trae.
I think we've seen him do it and heard about him doing it at certain points. Like when shit was all good, Zion, you know, he kind of becomes a different guy. Like, you know. Right. Like, you know, he's talking a little shit. You know, he's, you know, when he's healthy, he balling, his personality changes. But again, I don't know if him coming off the hamstring injury in the postseason that he just had, if that confidence is there just yet. Now, here's another thing. And this I might be connecting some dots that don't necessarily need to be connected. But, you know, I've seen at least three players. Well, if Trae was on this team, it would be three. At least, no, it's three fucking players already. Trae would be the fourth one. Three players on this team who have active, like, vocal fathers who've had issues within this organization, right? I'm going to say Lonzo. I'm going to say Redacted, because I want, you know, Redacted, friend of the show. I'm going to say Zion. And I'm going to say Trae would even be the fourth one. Like, you know, it's just something about this organization having, maybe it's the masculinity in the building. They don't like all that masculinity around, because this is a very weird, zesty organization. And like when these dudes, when the alpha men come in, pause, like a Stan Van Gundy, like a you know, Mr. Lee. Like a, you know, Mr. Redacted, because I don't want nobody, you know, when like Mr. I don't call him Mr. Ball, like Big Baller, you know, when people like that are around, that's intimidating. It makes you know, people around this organization feel uneasy, because now there's gonna be benchmarks you need to set. Like, motherfuckers want to win. Anthony Davis' father and Monty Williams was almost having fights, like physical altercations, like. These dudes want to win. Like, their parents, their fathers especially want them to win. And I just can't see a situation where Griff wants to, you know, any type of confrontation, like with a man like Mr. Young. So I that's another reason why I think he'll probably try to, like, oh, I don't want that shit around, because then he would have to be held accountable to someone.
Yeah. Interesting question here, Five. What do you think about, like, I am not a big D'Angelo Russell fan whatsoever. I don't know if y'all have the same different opinion, but I just can't. I don't like him at all. I think he's really fake to me. Like, I just don't like it at all.
You think that he's fake?
I think he's really fake. I think, like, he's like, he does this thing where he, like, really tries on defense. Like, he doesn't really try on defense. Like, he wants to be like a team guy. Like, he's not a team guy. Like, I'm not a big D'Lo guy whatsoever.
I like D'Lo. I like D-Lo. I wouldn't necessarily want him on this team. There's not enough stability for a guy like D-Lo on this team. I mean, hell, there wasn't enough stability on the Lakers. So I think he's a really good passer. I think he's a really good hooper. He seems to always hoop against the Pelicans. So that's always a plus. Maybe getting him into the Smoothie King Center for 40 games would be you know huge for everybody. But nah, it's not enough. Vocal people. There's not enough vocal people in this locker room. There's not enough stability around the organization for a guy like D'Lo to come in and everybody be successful.
Right. Yeah, you got a lot of stability with D'Lo coming in. So make sure 200 people in there. Make sure you smash the like button about 26 minutes in. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel and make sure you turn on the bell notification. So we talked Trae Young. We kind of talked DeJounte Murray. We got to talk Darius Garland now, right? So if there is going to be a move for Darius Garland, right? I like Garland. I like Trey. If you can land one of them, obviously, like, I think it's a win. Just pairing them together, Trae Young versus Darius Garland, who would you take out of those two?
I'd take Trae Young. Just because I know, like, the showman, the ability to score at will, late game situations, his ability to pass, he's ran his own team. Like you need guys like him. Although, you know, the league may not like him and guys around the league may not like him, which is fine. I love guys that everybody hates for some reason. I think he has a place. I think he has a hierarchy in the NBA, and some people don't want to deal with that, and that's fine. But I think that guy wants to win, and I'm cool with having a winner on my team.
So you take Trey. What about you, Chaz? Darius versus Trey. You're taking Trey too, or?
Yeah, I'll go with Trae Young in this scenario with Darius Garland being my second option. I'd be happy with either one of those guys, but another reason with Trey is because, like, man, you watch these series, you need a guy who could be the best player in a playoff series, who has a chance, like, who's shown evidence that he can actually do it. Pelicans don't have anyone like that right now. Like Zion ain't got the skins on the wall, pause. But he ain't never did it. Like, you know, he was close in that Lakers game, but that wasn't a series. You know what I'm saying? Talking about a play-in game. It's not, you know, man. Talking about a fucking series where you got somebody you can't stop. This motherfucker went in Madison Square Garden, couldn't stop him. Even in some of the first round series that he lost, he was like balling. This man has never really had a good team. That's another thing. Like, so,
and also, but see, here's the thing, Chaz. Like, you're talking about him in the fucking playoffs. He's
not failing in a regular season. Yeah,
exactly. Like, he's failing. Like, if you're saying he's failing in the playoffs. He's failing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, this organization's never made a conference finals. Like, you can't also just deny a talent like Trae Young if he's available.
Also, like, bro, for years, the Pelicans are like soft. Like, you know what I'm saying? The Pelicans got a real reputation for being like a soft team, and you kind of need someone that would change that perception. CJ, he comes out, you know, CJ comes out, you know, he says, you know, he talks a little shit, but CJ, you know, young CJ could back that up. This CJ, he ain't really there. So the Pelicans, like, they just crumble. They don't really have those vocal guys. They don't have a person that would do the things that a Trae Young would do, or a Zion, a guy who could just, like, discourage an entire opposing team and, like, yo, we ain't got a fucking chance. Like, they just don't have that guy who just has that aura of, yo, we got to watch this motherfucker. Like, watch him every possession. Like, even if he's missing, watch him every single possession, because this motherfucker is dangerous. We just don't have it.
Y'all both take Trey, right? Okay, so let's get into reality here. Is that okay? Do you think, who would be more expensive to get? Would it be Trae Young or would it be Darius Garland? Because there's reports saying, you know, Darius Garland's more coveted than Trae Young and so on and so forth. So who, Like, do you? I know it's a bunch of bullshit. And there's gonna be a lot of rumors, but go ahead, Jarrett. We'll hear your thoughts first, Jarrett, and then we'll go, Chaz.
I just think it's more like if Paolo has a really good game seven, this is not a conversation we're having right now, right? Like, if they don't get to the second round of the playoffs, we're not even having this conversation. But you know, the Cavs are really good at this, right? They're gonna say that their guy's worth more than a disgruntled asset in Atlanta, of course, because they want more in the trade. I don't know. I don't know what the actual number is or what you'll get back for either one. But if you have, you know, a way to get Trey or Garland, just do it. Like, I said this a couple pods ago. You're going to lose anyway. Fuck it. Like, if you got a chance to get either one, just take it and run. Just take it and run. Don't look back. Fuck. You made the decision you're going to make. Just move on. But don't go and like lowball yourself. That's the only thing. Like, don't go overspend or just lowball. Like, all right, I'm gonna take the first option. Well, if the first option is just DeJounte, and you didn't even like check for Trey, that shit I'd be pissed at. Like, don't just take that because that's all they're gonna give to you. Just don't do that.
Gotcha. I think Trey would be more expensive because only because they don't have to move Trey. They have to move in the event that Donovan extends. They have to move Donovan because you got. I'm sorry,
you mean
they
Darius? Have to move Darius
because of, you know, clutch and what things Rich Paul has come out and said. So now that may be off putting to some organizations, though. Like, oh, here come these clutch motherfuckers again. Like, you know, trying to do some slimy shit. And it might help Trey's situation that he distanced himself. From was he with Clutch before? I believe yep. He was with Clutch.
Who?
It might help the situation that he distanced himself and now he's with his agent at CAA. Maybe that makes him a more appealing trade target. But I think both are well within the Pelicans' price range. Truthfully, yep. I don't really think,
so.
Yeah, I think this, both are well.
And I'm looking at some comments, and I think this is a great comment here. And I'll let you go here first, Five. Like, if Herb's part of the deal for Trae Young.
I don't want to do it, but it's Trae Young. Like, sorry, Herb. Gotta do what you gotta do. I would love it for it to be Dyson and Larry and some fucking picks. I would love for it.
It should be Dyson. To Chaz's point, it should be Dyson, but unfortunately, Herb's the only one that is very valuable at this point.
Well, I'll say, if you're a smart team, it shouldn't be Dyson. if you're the team receiving that pack, you're like, I don't want this motherfucker. Right.
Other thing I could think of is Dyson has a really good PR team. Atlanta's like this big hub for international travel. Hopefully, some way, somehow, they can make it work. They would want it. But, yeah, let's see how that goes. So,
okay, Chaz, so you include Herb for Trey? Because like, I think it goes without saying, we all love Herb Jones. We all love Herb. Herb's the man. Will his value be any higher than it is right now?
It wouldn't, and I'm going to be honest, bro. I think Herb is highly replaceable, bro. Like, I really do. I really think Herb is, like, the reason I say that is because you really have to ask yourself how much can a single perimeter defender, how far can a single perimeter defender take you in today's age, right? Like, think about this. Put Herb on Luka right now in this series. You think they're really doing it? Does that change this series at all? Like, it doesn't. Herb could have guarded Shea or whatever. Did that change anything? No. Because you gotta have motherfuckers who could drop 30 and 40 at a dime. This is a new day. This is a new day. Luka had 30-something tonight. Kyrie had 30-something. Jaylen Brown had 40 the other night. The other night, fucking Jason Tatum had 30 something. It don't matter no more. Like, you got them dudes is cool, but they like, that's kind of like the white I don't do anything shooter. That's kind of it's getting to that point where it's like, man, if you don't get a new coach for Herb or somebody who can maximize some of his offensive talents, then he just gonna be another like cool defender dude in the league. if he can't go into a playoff game, like, what's my man McDaniels? If you can't give you multiple 20-point games in the playoffs, if you can't do things like that nowadays,
I would have to push back a little bit.
I think the pushback is like he wouldn't even have a chance. Like Jaden's on a better team, right?
Yes.
With the offensively structured coach. Well, not even that. Like he is. Like they have rules that this is how they play. This is how they want to move. Mm-hmm. There's other players on that team that can create, get shots for him. He's really just catching and shooting. He's not really doing much else. He does get to his pull up. He does get to the rim, but that's all play. You know, based off of Ant's movement, Cat's gravity, maybe even Gobert in the middle, and what's the other dude's name? Nas Reed catching and shooting. Like it's all predicated on other people's movement. But I that's the only pushback I'll give you about.
But that's why I say like if Willie Green's the coach.
Willie
Green isn't the coach, then to me everything kind of changes.
That's a really good, because we talk about that all the time. Like Herb Jones should be used in different ways than what he is now.
He could cut to the rim. He could do a ton of shit that they'll never use him for, and that's the problem. Like if let's say you trade,
you saying say, that now makes a ton of sense because like, a lot of people are like whoa, like
fuck all them. But because let me tell you why. Because I've said that several times before. If they choose not to hear it this time, or only acknowledge me saying it this time, well, they're getting what they asked for. It's a different kind of show for me tonight because I'm tired of seeing these other teams succeed. So fuck all them nimwits, nincompoops. So this is what I'm saying. If they say Trae Young for Herman Brandon right now, right, and you say no deal, okay, cool. You're not getting Trae Young. And Willie Green, the only real chance you had of, like, let's say if you trade for Trae Young now and you move Herb, Willie Green is going to be here, right? So you're going to get the same Herb Jones or a lesser version of Herb Jones this upcoming year. He's probably not going to shoot 40% again. And then Willie Green's probably going to be gone after that. But you've missed the opportunity to get Trae Young. So you're going to get a diminished return in Herb. And you missed your opportunity to get Trae Young, and you're holding like it's just
definitely an interesting topic. Like I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, right? A lot of people are saying, "Well, he's the hardest."
Oh, yes, it is.
It's an interesting debate but it goes back to the point that you were making, Chaz, a couple weeks ago, is that Herb Jones shouldn't even be in this spot. Like Herb Jones shouldn't even be in this spot. If you don't miss out on multiple lottery picks, like. Then you could, like, if Dyson Daniels isn't a complete bust, Dyson Daniels should be part of this deal. He really should be.
Dyson Daniels can defend, bro. Dyson Daniels is a solid defender. I don't think the levels between Herb and Dyson on defense are that.
I think they're way far apart.
You think Herb's that much better than Dyson?
Completely.
Really?
Yes.
Explain.
Yes.
I
don't think Dyson is even fucking close. I think one is instincts, especially like on ball, are really good, right? The length, right? The strength, right? Like he uses his instinct to body people, which is great. Cool. Herb off ball is far beyond Dyson. Like I think them on ball close. Off ball is not even in the same stratosphere. I think Herb does things that nobody in the league at his position does, even close. I think he helps out like almost like I say a lesser degree to Anthony Davis, in my opinion, just playing help side. Like the ground he covers, the instincts, the ability to see things 2-3 steps ahead. Like if he had an Anthony Davis, if he had a Rudy Gobert, we'd be talking about Herb like we talk about Gary Payton or some shit like that.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you know, Herb's obviously an incredible defender. He has never had a rim protector. Like, just imagine him with Daniel Gafford. Like it's not even, you don't have to be elite. Like just a dude that can just contest. like Herb Jones has to do so much every single night defensively that it's just like you watch Rudy Gobert tonight. He's just, I mean, like to y'all's point, like Herb Jones should be defensive player of the year because Herb Jones does so much on a nightly basis. But for Trae Young, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, he got to go.
So you're telling me, if Brandon and Trey, I'm sorry, Brandon and Herb for Trae Young, can I at least get a center back? No, on that deal.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, because everything else after that, everything else is like negotiable, right? If that's like the heart of the deal, then I think you do it because how Herb's like 26, if I'm not mistaken.
Irvin, I gotta stop. A project player is not selected eighth overall. If he's a project player, the project player is selected later in that round or in the second round. He's not a project player. Like, like Dyson Daniels selected eighth overall, the lottery pick. Like, literally, go look at that draft and go look who's playing in the playoffs right now. Those guys are like leaps and bounds better than Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels couldn't get on the court with a team getting swept.
Give me a project pick.
But see, that's the thing though, and like we've kind of discussed this internally, like the point of them drafting Dyson Daniels was like, if we draft Herb Jones at 19, this is what like he could turn. Like for me, I look at this entire series and I just don't see Herb Jones is out there. Like I don't see a Dyson Daniels out there. I see motherfucking killers out there. I just don't see that kind of player out there right now. And that might be because you know it's situational. Like you know you may not always need that, but I don't see it.
Chaz, quick question. Yeah. Who is actually looking for guys like that? Like no other team is looking.
You're selecting eighth overall. We're like, hey, let's take a project here. Like, what the fuck? Like that makes no sense to me.
And that's why I'm like, if this is the Herb you're gonna get moving forward, then cool is a cool 3-and-D player. But if you feel like he's peaked under Willie Green, who's just from what we know so far, is going to be here next year. And it's like, if I have an opportunity to buy low on a great, a really good to great player right now, and I can get a guy who give me at least 75-8 wave Herb was on pace, they'd be going to the final.
Well, like if Halliburton's healthy, I think, I don't know, say like finals, but I think they win two games.
Great comment. That's a great comment.
I think they win two games with Halliburton healthy and they have Herb Jones.
Because Herb Jones at that pace of an offense would be, you know
how you know that the Celtics are great? Shout out to you, Ivory. And this is why I disagree with Ivory. Porzingis hasn't played a single game.
You
got one of the most gifted offensive big men and shot blocker and Cornette's hurt. And Al Horford's old as a motherfucker. Xavier Tillman's played one game? Like, because you gotta tell me, okay, let's say Herb on that team and Neidhart's not playing. Neidhart giving him like 14 a game, 15 a game. Like, so.
Nemhard?
Nemhard.
He was the dude selected in the Dyson Daniels draft, is what I'm talking about. That motherfucker's absolutely balling out right now.
Yeah, fucking Viking name. But again, this entire playoffs, dog, every team is showing you it's all about offense. With Indiana fucking 20 something in defense ranked this year, all about offense.
But this is the thing that team's been better defensively, like once they got into the playoffs, right? Yeah. Like they got a coach that was defensive oriented.
Great coach,
right? Great coach. Defensive oriented, got to Indiana, was like, okay. Fuck it. This is how the league's being played. We're gonna make a trade. We're gonna get Tyrese Halliburton. Boom. They had the number one offense, like in terms of pace, right? Then they go and get the number one rated player in Siakam, as far as like fast break points. So it was almost like a match made in heaven. And Siakam has his like finalist pedigree, which I don't necessarily like love, but you add that to a team and Tyrese has this like masterful year, it makes the most sense. And like, okay, we get to the playoffs, we're going to play better defense. It's going to get more effort. Everybody going to block out. Miles Turner does shit now. Then you, what's the guard? What's the other guard? Light-skinned dude.
TJ?
No, no, not TJ's white. Light-skinned dude.
I'm fucking with you.
With the hair, with the long, with the braids. Oh, my God.
That's not Nimhard?
Obi?
No.
Obi Toppin is a four.
Nimhard is dark skin.
There's another light-skinned dude with the last. Yeah. His name starts with an N. That's the dude I'm talking about as well. Let me Google this guy. He averaging like he just hit
anybody
like
in the comments. Yeah, he was hooping.
Yeah, he balling right now.
And since again, like a team like that saw like offense was the goal, getting into the playoffs eventually.
Nimhard and Naismith. You talking about Naismith?
Aaron Naismith from Vanderbilt, the Celtics.
Got it.
Yeah,
Naismith.
Yeah, I'll talk about Nimhard.
Naismith.
All right. Yeah. Cool. But again, the fucking Indiana Pacers said offense is the way we're going to go. Even a defensive guy, as he was, decided he was going to switch and look at this team now.
And that's why Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the league, because he's adapting, right? And this is why I love Nick Saban. And this is why like I always like Nick Saban. Like if you remember, like I remember him at LSU, he was a defensive guy. Like dude was a defensive guy. Goes to Alabama, defensive guy. He started realizing that spread offense started coming, like spread offense started becoming a thing. It was very, very hard to stop. So what does Nick Saban do? He starts pivoting to offense. He starts getting like the Lane Kiffins of the world, the Bill O'Briens of the world, getting these offensive gurus in, and started becoming more of a quarterback. Like Alabama became a QBU for quarterbacks. And like just the greatness of Nick Saban, of like his adaptability, is incredible. And that's why Rick Carlisle is incredible. Go ahead, Fat.
Did you see the, speaking of like spread offense, did you see that the play that they ran at the end of the game?
Yeah. By the way, I know one of my guys is in the chat right now. I definitely wrote that down as a play set to use this year. But they went fucking four verts. But it's genius though. But five, it was genius because they're running four verts, but like the dude kind of like actually like a little
Beers.
Post.
Yeah,
and like the motherfucker came. Yeah, I was like, the shot, like for the, I think there's like 2 seconds left. Like you're still
not
like,
a bad
like,
shot. A
clean shot.
Not
the
a bad
shot
one,
they got. At half court with 2 seconds left, it's kind of like they rubbed, like they kind of rubbed off, and then that dude went straight to the corner. Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
But even if you look at the end of that Pacers Boston game, right? Again, Indy up what, two or three?
Ooh.
Like had several possessions where they couldn't get a fucking bucket. That at tonight, Ant gets to the rim, bricks a layup, getting rebounds, they're getting stops, they're doing everything. Can't get a fucking bucket. No good get a bucket. Man, Luka, Kyrie got buckets. Like you gotta get a fucking bucket.
But you know what I? You know what I respect the fuck out of Luka though. That no one talks about. Like yeah, Luka's incredible offensively. Yeah, the charge he took against Anthony Edwards in the third quarter.
There's multiple defensive things Luka's done in this playoffs that I'm like, all right, yeah, do locked in. Ton of different. Yeah. I think it was the last series. They tried to throw an alley. No, matter of fact, it was this series. Tried to throw an alley to Rudy Gobert. Luka blocks it.
That was last game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, like Luka wasn't doing that shit 2 years ago or before Kyrie got there.
Right. It's just the buy-in, man. It's just
he had a big steal tonight. Big steal tonight.
Yeah. All right, so about 50 minutes in, we'll go about 10 or 15 more minutes, get y'all's questions. Once again, make sure you smash a like button presented to you by Company Burger, located at 4600 Ferret Street. Chaz will give you this one. Caleb Porter, what do y'all think about Cat for BI trade? I know they wouldn't do that, but it solves our big man problem in shooting. There was another comment saying like, hey, if you know Minnesota gets swept here, Cat keeps struggling, do you think he'll be made available in the offseason?
I think he'll be made available because, if I'm not mistaken, they're currently $1 million over the second apron. So that kind of really limits what they're able to do. I wouldn't be shocked if they just wanted to bank on Ant taking just another step. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they ran it back and just banked on internal growth. But watching this player, I just feel like you need another perimeter threat. I just don't want another high-priced like high price five. I just don't want like another high price front court player, man. And like, just because, like, I look at and I think Cat's awesome, but it's just if you already had a perimeter person, and you paired that with Cat, let's do it. Like I'm with it. But right now, until you get a real backcourt like player, I don't really know. You know, I don't really know what you're gonna do. Like I don't know.
It's interesting. What you want to say something five?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Because you know, as a guy like Chaz has been like the number one leading person for Karl-Anthony Towns in the world, like has been saying this for years. And for him to turn heel at this point makes me think about Atlanta. What if Atlanta said, well, what if we get you Cat for Trey, Cat and Trey together? That's scary.
You mean Atlanta would land Cat?
Yes.
Now that would be crazy. That's something that crossed my mind.
And they got the number one pick.
That crossed my mind a little bit. But I was like, nah, they wouldn't do that, would they?
Dude, no, but those two contracts of Trey and Cat would be, guys $100 million. Like
Indiana's another team, bro. Like, man, because you get Miles Turner the fuck up out of here and you replace him with Karl-Anthony Towns, you know how crazy that that would be crazy.
I don't know. I think because if you're Atlanta, you're like, man, this number one pick ain't worth shit. Like in the back of your mind, but maybe, just maybe, Minnesota, like, well, that might be something we look into if we can get another. What if they get DeJounte in the deal at the same time? Like, I don't know. Got another creator off ball. It's
definitely interesting. Five, Tyronn Jones. I would take Capel and Murray for Brandon and Larry. Yeah, does Atlanta take that?
Knock on wood. Hopefully I never need a Tommy Jones surgery.
Tommy Jones.
I know. But listen, I would sign that deal as well. Like, bro, I wish, but I don't know if that necessarily, like, if Atlanta just does that straight up. Like, if you're Atlanta, like, does that make me good? And maybe in a year I can just, you know, wipe my slate pretty clean with, you know, an excess of what is Brandon making, like 40 something? Like,
next year, 36.
36, right. So, like, maybe I could just wipe my slate clean, but I don't know if they do that, though.
Yeah, should be and giveaways.
This was the comment I was talking about, Chaz, from Micah. Wolves might get swept. BI for Cat could be open again. Wolves need wing help. That was
Shout out to you, Michael. Yeah, man. Like, again, because the Pelicans, realistically, the Pelicans still have avenues to go out and get a backcourt guy. Like, for example, if they went and got let's say they use CJ's salary, package that with Dyson or something, and went and got Garland, then you're talking about Garland, Zion, and Cat. Something I'm let's do it. I'm with that. Let's do it. But I think even still, like, you need to have a backcourt dog right now, dog. Like, that's just where the league is at. Even Mike Conley at this age, big threes, big gamer, like they don't win that series without Mike Conley, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, you gotta have a killer in the backcourt right now.
Mark, I'll answer this real quick. Absolutely not, because the Saints are favored over the Pelicans all the time, and Pelicans are kind of just treated like a stepchild. So that would never be a basketball city over a football city. We'll just it is what it is. We'll go. Who just got that last question? Chaz or five? Chaz it?
Me. We not talking about Bryson.
We are. We can. Let me get some more fan questions and we can talk about Bryson. I mean, here's the thing though. Like, congrats to Bryson. I'm glad, you know, congratulations. Like, David Griffin makes a move. Like, it is what it is, man. We talked about this, Chaz. Me and you had a long ass conversation last night. I talked to you too, Jared. It is what it is. Like, these guys, as long as David Griffin's the president of basketball operations, these titles don't mean shit. They don't. Like, he's calling the shots. Okay. Like, I hope Bryson gets to do what he wants to do. Like, I really do. But I mean, as long as David Griffin's here, he's controlling everything. It is what it is. Five, Caleb, would y'all trade Brandon for Kuminga and CP3?
Yeah. I think, yeah, you have some parallels there. Shout out to Aaron Miles. Aaron Miles used to coach at Golden State along with along that staff. So that would be crucial. Kuminga tends to lean towards – there was like a couple stories. One of his – matter of fact, his player development coach is from Hammond, which I'm from.
Hammond, so, America.
Hammond, America. Shout out to Hammond, America. So his player development coach is from Hammond. Like, they had a really good really good relationship. I think in that sense, like, you probably need to bring that guy to New Orleans if doing so. And CP3, I think he's probably needed, you know, probably need to exercise some demons. I don't know what needs to happen so the Pelicans can get to, you know, a conference championship, Western Conference championship, right? Maybe. But I don't know if it does it, but I still make that move.
Shit, I'd do it because I'm trying to sabotage Golden State on the cool. I'm like, y'all a little too close to still being a little relevant. I'm trying to put the dirt on that grave. That, and you know what, man? I like Kuminga. I ain't gonna lie. Kuminga's nice. Kuminga is gonna be he's gonna be something special. Dude is incredibly physically imposing. Like, I watched Golden State play Atlanta this season. Man, this motherfucker Kuminga, he looked like a man amongst boys out there. Like, just from a physicality standpoint, rebounding, dunking, just he looked like a more mobile, like physically more mobile Julius Randle. And I feel like, or OG Anunoby, like, that's how physically imposing he is. And he has he got room. If that motherfucker get a jumper, you talking about a dangerous player. So,
you know, I've seen a lot of comments of this, and Jay, appreciate all your comments. You're always here. So I'm just like, you're like the most recent one. The injury prone CP3 thing. Like, I think the biggest thing that this team's missed for years is leadership. And this team hasn't had leadership literally since this dude left. I guess Rondo came in for a year. Rondo was actually a really good leader. Chris, I think CP3 would be a great help to Zion Williamson on how to actually be, you know, I know CJ's great with it, but like CP3, another voice in there would be great with Zion. I also think you want to talk about a guy getting centers paid. Chris Paul, like, literally gets everybody paid. I'm not as low on CP3 as a lot of people are. I think he would be great for this team, but this dude wants a ring, and I don't think this
to me, Chris Paul never plays a single fucking possession. Chris Paul is getting traded for some pieces. Like, it's about like $40 million just buy in salary. You know, like, that's incredibly valuable, ironically, to a team like Atlanta. So I would, man, I'm like, Chris, all I need you to do is be cool, coach up the guys, try to find somewhere for you to go. I'm going to send you to a title contender. I just need you to be cool and coach up my guys and teach them, you know, transfer your knowledge to some of them. Like, help me, please. And I'm gonna send you somewhere you want to go.
Oh, you about to say something, Jared?
Yeah, I blame fucking Chaz, bro. Golden State gonna go after Cat, man.
That would be nice. That would be a cold ass team.
Wait, hold on.
Well, no, wait. Then again,
you think Draymond? I'm about to say there's no way Draymond would be able to do that unless they trade him.
Fuck you.
He only hate Cat because Cat not on the team. If he was on the team, they'd be cool.
Of course he would, Chaz, because you know why? He's a fucking winner. This is what people do, okay? Yeah. This is what winners do. They get talent. They're like, you know what? I'll put my ego to the side. Let's go win a championship. Like, this is what winners do.
He's gonna help Cat be better.
Can you imagine Steph, Draymond, and Cat? Oh, my God.
Let's get to another question. That's just depressing thing.
Oh, I hate that.
Chaz from Austin, can we get Jalen Green?
Yes.
We can?
Yeah, you can get Jalen Green. And honestly, see, that's another guy that's like a lottery ticket, whereas you know he has all the talent, all the potential in the world, just hasn't been able to really put it together necessarily. Big personality, got a lot of Dwayne Wade in his game.
That's a great comment. Sorry, Chaz.
Oh, help me, help you, Jeremy.
Help you.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Green got a lot of Dwayne Wade in this game, you know, I mean, off the court. And I don't know, man. He just I take the gamble. I take the gamble just because this motherfucker is so dynamic that if he ever does figure it out, like, yeah, you got to look at players. This is what you really have available to you. Guys who haven't quite figured it out, guys, and guys who may be over the hill a little bit. So, like a Jimmy Butler type guy. If you have a guy like Jalen who hasn't quite figured it out yet, and he comes to your team much like a Brandon Ingram, he's already further along than where a guy like Brandon was when he came to your team. Already further along than where some other third year, you know, players, 4 year players were when they, you know, came to your team. You just have to hope that he gets here, he takes things serious, because the motherfucker got his, the talent is up there. The talent, the, it's up there. He just hasn't figured it out.
Hey, he's young. I mean, he has a chance to figure it out. Hakeem, I love this question. What do y'all think of Coby White? If you shout out to you, Hakeem, appreciate the comment. But if you listen to our show about 3 weeks into the year, these three guys actually on the panel right now talked about going to get Coby White, and then he exploded on the scene. Yeah, you ain't getting him. I really like him. He's a good ball player.
I don't know if you ain't getting him, Justin. I don't know. Because if you the Bulls, this is a perfect sell high opportunity for Coby. Coby White probably never played like that. Oh, shit,
that's right. I'm thinking in the Pelicans mindset where we don't do sell high things. My bad. That actually is a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you could sell high on
he's a late bloomer. Coby late White. Bloomer, man. Hell of a player.
Yeah, UNC guy, right?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, UNC.
Right, Jarrett? UNC guy? Yeah. Look, I mean, we got 250 people in here. Appreciate y'all's comments. We can keep going. Make sure you smash the like button if y'all got questions. I'll keep throwing them to Jarrett and Chaz. Here's one from AJX. What about Cam Thomas? Was that crazy?
That was pretty crazy.
That was pretty, I'll keep throwing. I like, you know what?
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh.
Less than an hour. Go ahead. Oh, that was
great. Yeah, I was on the line.
What about Cam? What about Cam Thomas 5? LSU guy.
Love Cam Thomas. But again, the problem isn't the player; it's the, you know, place he's gonna possibly be playing in, and the ceiling he's gonna have to hit his head on too many times to really figure it out. I think that's the real issue we have here. Super talented player. Yeah. Gifted scorer in a league that needs scoring on a team that, you know, couldn't get over 100 points in a playoff game multiple times.
Couldn't get 100, we couldn't get 92. I'm sorry, 93. All right, Donald, you want to talk Detroit, Chaz?
I don't think Trajan likes Brandon personally. Just because if you've been in the organization and there's a lot of shit we know. So imagine the shit we don't know. Like, if you've been in an organization and you've seen this guy who's at this point looking to be a bit of a coach killer up close and personal, you've seen him in the playoffs up close and personal, you've seen him, you know, with some questionable injuries up close and personal, I don't know if your first big move is, I'm going to bring in this guy who I also have to give $52 million a year after I just got out of, like, a couple years removed from the Blake situation, fucking Reggie Jackson, like, there's all these terrible situations that Detroit was in, and you got Monty Williams, who you owe a ton of fucking money. So I don't know if I don't know if Trajan would do that, but then again, I don't know. Maybe he's a spy for Griff, and he over there, and he gonna do his old boss.
An spy? Was it? What did you say, Chaz? A double secret agent?
Double secret agent.
Double secret agent. All right. So 5. Let's see. Ooh, Big Swole. I like this comment. You know how insane this is to say? Like, you teach pick and roll in like fifth grade. No, you're right. Here's a great. You are completely right. But they teach you pick and roll in like fifth grade. The fact that you have to say we need somebody to teach the pick and roll in a professional basketball organization is insane to say. And I'm not having a shot at you. It's just insane to say. What about B.I. for Sengun 5?
Man, I... Nice. L-O-V-E. Sengun.
Ooh.
As baby Joker, then you can really like play. You can put Zion in the Aaron Gordon spot, like Zion in the dunker, but also you just have to get a dynamic guard. So like that's the other issue there, but that gives you really two pillars to kind of build off of. Sengun is baby Joker. Like that helps out a lot. Maybe CJ can like fill the void for a minute until you get a guy. But yeah, man. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
I'd also do that because Sengun's crazy and he could pass the right. Sengun's nice. Sengun's fucking nice. But here's the issue, like what Five just said. Still need a dynamic guard, right? And so if I'm the Pelicans, I'm looking at CJ like, all right, look, we know writing on the wall here, brother. So how do I identify that dynamic perimeter player, right? Like I gotta start thinking a year out, like, all right, De'Aaron Fox that guy, and is De'Aaron Fox gonna become available at some point, or is this person gonna become available? Now you gotta identify who's the next. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I've seen that thrown around a bit, pause. And I don't know. I think it's too early I do that move in a heartbeat, but it might be a little early for Sacramento to give up on Fox just because he's 1 year removed from being fucking awesome. But he was so bad in the second half of he was so bad for a fucking God damn, like three-fourths of the season.
Chaz, I remember you were just like, yeah, late in the game, the opposing team, give the ball to Fox.
Like, he was so bad three-fourths of that season that they might be sick of it. And they might have a new coach. So I say you trade him Brandon and Willie Green for De'Aaron Fox.
That'd be crazy.
If that's on the table.
Yes.
All right, sorry. One more thing. The trade thought popped up in my mind. Somebody on this team that's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. What if, now this is kind of how I see it, right? Like, I think Cleveland is saying now, like, our value of Darius Garland is up here. Now, when the season actually ends and there's a champion, more people will be involved in trades. And I think then Darius Garland's value around the league will drop a little bit. And actual people, like, say Trey gets traded before him, I think that almost drops his value a little bit more.
Shout out to you, Pistons Talk.
Is it possible that CJ is traded for Garland in some way, some shape, or form, or fashion? Right? And you can still make a move for Sengun in Houston. This is just my thought. But these are all possibilities here.
Very possible. Very. You got a guy who's capable of playing off ball, had a career, incredible shooting year, totally transformed his game. Professional. Donovan Mitchell's also a great professional guy, pretty much grew up in the industry. And next year, CJ becomes an expiring $30 million. So if you're them, you could say, well, fuck, maybe I don't want Brandon. Maybe I don't want Jeremy Grant. Maybe I want to use CJ's contract to go find that final piece when there's maybe a better, better group of players available next offseason. So, if I could get a Sengun, I care less about CJ's professionalism being in the building. Now, look, Andrew, he said Anthony Simons. That's another person whose name has come up a little bit, right? I don't know about Anthony. I like he can play.
I haven't seen him enough. I gotta. When you explain that, you're right. You were explaining it. You're just like, let's go.
Hey, for sure, man. It's a dot. It's got to connect these dots because, like, you just got to, like, see a guy like CJ ending up back home, right? It's Ohio. Cleveland wants to play seems like a more run and gun style. I think they had a lot of success, although JB Bickerstaff isn't there anymore, right?
No, he's gone.
He's
right. Gone. So, but they were successful running and shooting. CJ's older, wants to shoot off the ball. It's not gonna take the ball out of Donovan's hand. Go ahead.
You know who would love CJ?
Who's that?
James Borrego.
Who?
Ah! I would kick open the door to Oval Office and I would chop that motherfucking desk in half.
Hey, we cooking right now.
Yeah, that shit queued up.
I was waiting for the drop. Bang.
But it would that makes a lot of sense, bro. That makes a lot of fucking sense because you still can get like CJ's an improvement over Max Strus. Like he's improving over Caris LeVert. You're getting better. And that's another team that man, they're gonna have some salary issues soon. So CJ, big expiring contract. Hey, I don't know.
Popola? No. This is
but no. Just but no. But
so I thought this was an interesting comment. Hartenstein Robinson.
Man, Hartenstein going with that bag.
Robinson pretty distressed. So you might be. He's not a free agent right now, though, is he, Andrew?
Nah. I don't think so.
What do you think of Pistons talk said this, and it's like,
yeah, he's right.
Yeah, he's right. That seems
but it
like
goes back. Most... But it goes back to our but Chaz, it goes back to literally an hour ago what we talked about. It's like you acquire the talent. Like I know DeJounte. Like he's completely right. But if you got a shot at Trey, if you have a shot at Trey, you gotta go get him, bro. Like it is what it is at this point. Like you have nothing to lose at this point. Like, we have won zero fucking playoff series in 5 years. They are 2-8 and 9 in the postseason, if you want to count the playing games. Like, are we talking about here?
Chaz, it's like going to the club and you get a girl number like 5 minutes into getting there, right? Mm-hmm. And she nice. She's solid. But it's like,
she follows you all night.
Yeah. Do you just start off with we might kick it, you know? So let me look around the room, but you see the one in there, like you like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like even if I take the L, I gotta take the L. You know?
You gotta turn into a segment sooner or later.
DeJounte would have been a perfect move. A year or two ago. Like when we did the show, it'd have been a perfect move about two, three years ago. Because by this point, if you're still in the same position you're in, now you got this guy who's been balling on a solid contract. The Hawks offered Trae Young for Cade this season. Pistons said no. Hey, you know what? I understand it though, because at a certain point this season, Cade, large guard, crazy mid-range game, passing the hell out the ball. And with how fragile with the Weaver over there in Detroit, with how fragile that front office is, it's like and Monty Williams.
Yo, oh yeah, that's the thing.
Yo, Monty that's Williams it. Would strangle Trae Young. Yo, it'd be crazy. Yo, Killian Hayes playing over Trae Young. Can you imagine that shit?
I'm not telling your organization what champagne or beer budget they have to stop that. Be aggressive. Don't lose Zion because you're frugal and afraid. I'm with you. Like I know. I know. Me and Jared especially know. We were there for an entire year and saw how it operated on a day-to-day basis. Trust me, we know.
A year.
I'm sorry, 2 years. You're right, Jared. I'm sorry. Last month seems like it's been lasted for a year. Chaz from Charles, any thoughts on BI and Dyson for Jaren Jackson?
Charles Pierre, man, I'd do that ASAP. I'd do that. That was one of the during the season trades that I kind of was conspiring, like, hey man, this shit go left for Memphis, then maybe they want to get off of Jaren Jackson Jr. He's one of those ideal Zion pairings, but to me, that would just be the first domino. And you still, no matter what the Pelicans do, you gotta get a dynamic guard. You gotta get some guard play. But Jaren Jackson Jr. would be incredible.
Caleb, five was credentialed, or the network is credentialed. So, I mean, like, we were in the building every day for the last, like, 2 years. But, like, we don't work directly with the Pelicans. Trust me. We do not work directly with the Pelicans. Do not own this show. So, no. Mondog, you said something crazy here. What did you just say? What you got?
He's saying Memphis not dumb like that. So you're saying Brandon sucks. That's what you're saying.
If you don't know Mondog, Mondog's always here, big branding of guy. Shout out to you, Mond, but go ahead.
Because think about this, right? Any, like, the rule of thumb is you always go perimeter versus big. Like, you always go get the perimeter guy, no matter what, almost no matter who the big is. If it's somewhat comparable, you go with the perimeter guy. And you say, he's saying, man, Memphis be dumb as a motherfucker. I agree with you that it would be, but it's like, you know, you saying, bro ain't like that.
A crazy comment, Cade. Yeah, Big Swole, this is, that's out.
Austin, yo, you could not have gotten Ananobi, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Ananobi was ungettable. They tried everything to get Ananobi. He was unfucking gettable.
Messiah tripping.
Yeah, Messiah.
Yeah, man. Anything else? I got some hour and 15.
I think we got to talk about the Bryson thing. You just have to, bro.
What do you want to talk about? You know what? Are you upset that they promoted within instead of?
Well, that wouldn't have been my first choice, but I will say you got a guy who has found some talent. He's partially responsible for the Herb Jones fine. Mm-hmm. Trey Murphy. Who else? I guess Dyson for what that's worth. We ain't nobody perfect, but I do think you got a young guy who maybe he's a bit more, you know, with youth comes vigor and ambition. So you don't work your way up from being an intern to being a fucking GM without some ambition and some vigor. So I'm going to give this man the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to say he's not going to be a fucking just.
Do you think Griff's gonna give him the runway then? Because look, I'm all about it. Like, I'm fine with Bryce. Like, I'm fine with the promotion. My issue though is, mm-hmm. will David Griffin allow him to be the general manager of the team or not?
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna go out on a limb, pause, and I'm gonna say, yeah.
Why give him the leeway and not Trajan?
Because Trajan probably not. I don't talk about nobody why they no longer here, but Trajan wasn't very good, dog. Like, go back to the Nets, and again, like, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, and I believe it was one more fine.
Jared Allen
was before Trajan. Year before Trajan.
Dinwiddie?
It was Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, and I think one more player. But the two, look at Pistons talk. Here's the thing. We're not really 100% sure what Trajan does. Trajan, like Tommy Martin, if you're familiar with that show. Like, we're not really sure what Trajan does. So, you know, the thing, you know, but yeah, Trajan, he doesn't really have this track record of excellence to where we're like, well, shit, you know, if Trajan would have had the reins, he would have done X, Y, and Z. I just think with this young guy, you know, and maybe Griff will be a little more open to his ideas because he does have a good track record with the Trey Murphys and helping discover the Herb Joneses and guys of that nature. I'm sure he had input on Jordan Hawkins. So far, most of his things has paid off. Oh, man.
Five, you want to
yes, but that's a good one.
Shout out Bryson.
man shout out Bryson, bro. Coming from an intern all the way working your way up to a GM. Again, I'm all for black people getting money they don't deserve. Like, I'm all for it, even if I'm not saying you don't deserve it, but I'm all for it, even if people don't think you deserve it. I'm all for it. That's the hard part about being in this organization. You don't know who gives. Everybody wants credit, but you don't know where the credit needs.
We give a lot of credit.
It's the fucking craziest thing. Like, you just credit adjacent to any move that's positive, but anything that's negative, you don't want to be associated with. So it's crazy. But shout out to Bryson, bro. I hope you do well. Again, like, see black people succeed, man.
Yo, Pistons talk. I wish that all I owned it did.
That we should probably look. I don't know. Like, if Pistons talk, if you want to do a cross promo show, maybe like a trade show, like, I think we'd love to have you on, man. So, try to get your information. We'll, I know a lot of people are down on Jaden Ivey 5, but I know,
Pistons talk. We gotta get Jaden Ivey and Durin on the team, man. You got a superstar in Brandon Ingram. Could really help that organization.
Yeah. That could be a fun live collab.
That would be crazy.
That would actually be fun. Get Pistons and Pelicans fans all together. Yeah, for sure. I'll get your information out for sure. We'll go from there. Appreciate everyone here. 250 people in here. Make sure you smash that like button. Hour 20 in. That will probably do it for us here. 5. Chaz, y'all got anything else? Y'all good?
Chaz,
do you want to? I mean, we don't have 5 seconds of Lito. Do you want to? You want to close it out?
Well, yeah, I'll just say that ultimately the trade season has already started for teams who aren't like actively in the postseason. None of these teams in the postseason, I think, would have any realistic dealings with the Pelicans. So I believe the willing and dealing phones, all that shit, has already started. Donovan Mitchell going to back to Cleveland is a given, and now it's just all about extracting the most value. You need gamers. Trey is a gamer. I think Trey is the clear-cut first option, and I think the second option, Darius Garland, who I'm a fan of, is levels below. So let's stop playing these games and stop being afraid to succeed, man. Stop being afraid to succeed.
Appreciate that. Everyone in here, happy Memorial Day. Hope you all have a great Monday and a good Sunday night. And we'll probably be back Wednesday or Thursday. And make sure you turn on that bell notification. We'll go live Thursday and obviously next Sunday. So shout out to everyone in the chat. Make sure you smash that like button. We'll see y'all later.